19. Supplicants.
Stand up, says Vulcan.
Grammaticus stands.
You remember me, my lord?
He asks. Vulcan's eyes are superheated red, the blazing glow of the world's core.
I remember you, he says. Barely, as a dream. When we met, my mind was not my own. But it is hard to forget the face of the man who killed me.
Ayas Raja sweeps around, a golden blur. The blade of his spear stops a hair's breadth from John's throat.
Killed me, and in so doing contrived my salvation, I should say, says Vulcan. Lower your blade, companion. This man gave his life so that I could live again. But for his sacrifice, I would not be here to stand with Terra.
That was years ago,
says John, as the gleaming blade moves away from his neck.
And a considerable simplification.
Perhaps, says Vulcan. There were other elements in play, on Macragg and afterwards. But you played the key role, and you surrendered your life for me.
He pauses.
Yet you stand before me now.
As you stand before me, says John.
You speak as though you know the curious logic of a perpetual existence, says Vulcan.
In part, says John. But I'm not of that rare kind. A rough facsimile for a while. Not even that now. When I gave you my life, sir, I was not brought back as a multitude. I am mortal, with but one life. You, I trust, have many left within you.
John puts his hand on the shoulder of Ol, kneeling beside him.
This is the man you should be talking to, he says. He certainly knows that curious logic.
What is your name?
Vulcan asks.
John Grammaticus, sir, says John. And this is Alanius Person.
Ol rises slowly to his feet.
I would relish a conversation with you both, says Vulcan. However, now, clearly, is not the time. I can barely justify this interruption to the work. But Hassan reported your remarkable intrusion and your unusual demands. Both required the consideration of the most senior authority. I cannot leave my post here, so you were brought to me. I want an account. You will make it brief.
I came to see your father, says Ol.
From where? Asks Vulcan.
A Kalth, but that's irrelevant. In truth, the past. I knew him once, a long time back. I would speak with him again.
He never mentioned you, says Vulcan.
I'm sure he hasn't, but then, has he ever mentioned much?
Vulcan raises an eyebrow slightly.
You came as a group,
he asks.
Traveling companions, fellow survivors of Kalth, says Ol. The journey has not been easy. We've needed each other. I humbly ask that you have the Vigilant Sisters step back, for they are causing suffering to some of my friends.
Security must be maintained,
Raja snaps at once.
Have the kind sisters back away, Vulcan says to him. Or would you like to insult my fortitude further?
Raja bows his head, and, at his thought mark, the sisters and the custodian escort step back from the group, forming a much wider perimeter. All his actes sigh in relief. Raja remains at their side, with Hassan, the negation crate he was carrying set on the lustrous floor at his feet.
Thank you, says Ol to the Primarch.
Vulcan nods.
What was your business with my father?
Vulcan asks.
To discuss with him the course, purpose, and meaning of this conflict?
Do you bear new intelligence?
Vulcan asks.
Information about the foe that could prove decisive?
Probably not, says Ol.
Then I wonder why he would discuss it with you.
Because we have discussed wars many times, says Ol. We have planned them together, and we have fought them together. He has in the past valued my perspective.
You are a soldier?
Once upon a time.
Your martial wisdom must be significant if he took counsel from you.
I'm just an ordinary soldier, says Ol. Was an ordinary soldier.
Yet one who evidently values his military skills enough to risk misadventure, says Rasha, to come a great distance by his own admission and seek to speak them aloud.
The companion makes a good point, says Vulcan.
This is the end war, sir, says Ol, looking squarely into Vulcan's eyes. Perhaps the end and the death of everything. A soldier would be failing in his duty if he did not do whatever he could.
I sense you are being sparing with the truth, says Vulcan.
Some things, great lord, are for his ears alone, replies Ol. Can I speak with him?
No,
says Vulcan.
May I ask why?
Asks Ol. This is your decision.
It is a matter of practicality, says Vulcan. My father is not here. You cannot speak to him. I am the most senior authority on Terra, which is why you are speaking to me.
Where is he?
Asks John.
At war, says Vulcan.
Then what of the Sigilite? Asks Ol. Vulcan turns slightly, and with one gesture of his mighty hand, indicates the pulsing light that fills the throne room far behind him. It is a terrible radiance, the living light that began to gnaw at them all when they first entered. It smells of compressed pain and torn hopes, of burning gold and whispering agony. Against the glare, Vulcan is backlit like a cliff at sunset.
Malkador, he says, occupies the throne in my father's stead.
Ol peers into the light until his eyes begin to ache and a migraine blossoms in his skull. He can just see in the distance tiny specks of figures toiling in the glare, the shape of curious machines. He can almost pick out the shape of a colossal throne, raised up in majesty. He cannot make out a figure on it. He opens his mouth to speak, then closes it again. The Emperor has gone, and all the senior commanders save Vulcan with him, and the Sigilite is lost in the technological inferno of what mortals laughably refer to as the throne. They have arrived too late, and it's all been for nothing.